All right. So let me share my screen on our first Bible verse here. And where we left off last week, we were talking about fasting. I'm not sure that I could do like a show of hands here, but wondering if those of you who are on felt led to fast this week. And you know what? Think about it. If it's worth sharing, we'll open up later on to hear some of the impacts that you may have experienced during this time. Just know this, we didn't officially call a church-wide fast because, let me stop sharing, I'm gonna, so you can see me. We didn't declare a program, a church-wide fast program, because I wanted this thing to be led of the Holy Spirit. If he's speaking to you, if he's telling you to fast, then you fast. And by not declaring a start date, we're not declaring an end date, which means it's not like, hey, this is the week of fasting that River does for 2020. And when it's out of the way, we won't have to worry about that again for another year. You know, it's not about that. What we're looking at and what we're going to continue looking at today is what we're calling the fasted lifestyle. It's not a once a week, my church does it, it's amazing, and then we don't do it again. It's a life. And remember last week we said Jesus, when he cast that spirit out of the boy, the disciples couldn't do it. And they asked Jesus, well, why couldn't we do it? He said, this guy only comes out with prayer and fasting. And we have no evidence that Jesus was fasting when Jesus spoke to that demon. And yet the demon came out of the boy. The boy was delivered. The point being is that Jesus lived that lifestyle. And so therefore there was no need to create a, you know, a campaign or a program where Jesus was fasting. That was his life. So we're going to continue looking at that today. We left off last week with the concept that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. This is Romans 8. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed with words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So as the Holy Spirit is inside of us, pleading for us, but on behalf of God's will, we can sense the groanings. We don't always hear verbal communication from the Father. We don't always know words. We just sense this inner groaning, which is his desire, which is God's desire, which is in favor of us, but it's also directing us. It's leading us. And how do we know when it's time to fast? Oftentimes, you'll sense that groaning in your gut, that, and I'm not talking about hunger pains. That's telling you, man, this is right for the season. It's time to fast. And we mentioned last week, fasting is not always just giving up all your food. You know, sometimes it can be the Lord leading you into a direction where you're giving up some kinds of food. Sometimes it has nothing to do with food. Sometimes it has to do with activities or distractions or entertainment or media. You know, there's various forms of fasting, and I don't want to lock ourselves into any one or the other, because in the end, what we're looking for is a longevity, a lifestyle. And, you know, when you try to go without, you can only last so long, but if the Lord is putting something on your heart to go long-term, and I have no idea what that means for you, you may find yourself, you know, giving up a type of food, a type of a drink, or, you know, a type of distraction in your life. And it's just for a season and not for a small, short period of time. I just so badly want to ask Chris what he's laughing at. Is that something having to do with what we're talking about? You, Mr. Ugly?
Oh, sorry. My kid was doing some funny stuff.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that one.
Awesome. Cool. All right, well.
I can share on some fasting, though, if you like.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I've been fasting. I gave up sweets like desserts and stuff like that. And then I've been trying to give up news. That's been a little more not successful. Yeah. But the sweets has been, while very tempting, very successful. And I've noticed just an increase in my prayers. And even just the other day, I had just this debilitating headache. And so I started just praying for myself, and I prayed for all my illnesses at that time. And then by the time I finished, my headache was gone, which is great. So, and we've been praying for like our home group, our personal home group here. And we've been seeing just some really miraculous things happening. Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of just really cool things happening with the fasting and prayer, and yeah, highly recommend.
Praise God. You know, it's a great time now. Does anybody else have a fasting testimony that's worth sharing? Yes, that's, you know, specifically fasting. Nobody. All right.
Yeah, I will.
Go ahead, Beth.
I have to unmute myself.
Yeah, you're unmuted.
Oh, okay. So I had kind of been struggling with social media off and on for a long time, and I didn't totally do a fast ever, but I can't stand it, mm-hmm. yet I would still find myself on there. So last weekend, I just decided that was a time when I had to declare it a fast. And so now I am fasting from social media. I'm doing it for at least 30 days, and then I'm going to revisit it, though it may be kind of a permanent thing. And I feel a lot better not going on there, because I would find myself angry for days about the cruel things that people would say, and just the attacking that was on there, and I just couldn't stand it. So anyway, I feel a lot better not going on there. So that's it for me. That's my fasting.
Awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Anybody else quickly? I'm just trying to look through all the boxes. I don't want to miss anybody on the Brady Bunch show here. All right, cool. All right. So the Holy Spirit leads us. What he led me to this week was giving up sugars, sweets, anything that's like really enjoyable.
Only gruel for you.
What's that?
Only gruel for you now.
That's right. Giving up any form of, you know, alcohol, so no wine. And then, am I missing something, Rach? Sorry, you're on mute.
Oh.
It's been weird. No? Okay. It's been one of those, like, I'm actually feeling it out. Like, someone asks, you know, do you want this? Like this kind of sauce on your food. I'm like, no, you know, it's just like a, it's not a planned thing. It's like, I'm checking in with the Lord and I'm just seeing what he wants to do. And, you know, we're going to get into that in a minute and it'll make a little bit more sense. I've been feeling like the Lord has been speaking to my heart more during this time. And it's not that it's more episodes of the Holy Spirit speaking. It's just that when he speaks, the impact feels deeper. And I don't know how else to explain it other than that, but just this idea that, you know, we live with this knowledge of the Lord speaking to us, but man, the times that he's speaking now feels more impactful. I find myself, just like my emotions, just grabbing hold of what he's saying. It's not just, you know, a conversation, but it just feels like he turned the volume up. And I feel myself on the inside just like waking up to whatever he has to say in the moment, which I'm so grateful for, because anytime we hear the Lord speaking to us, it's such a gift, you know. It's something that the world doesn't experience or understand. So I'm grateful for that. I'd like for us to go over to Daniel 9. So I'll share my screen. You can flip to your Bible if you'd like, or just look at my screen here. But Daniel 9, during the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, learned from reading the word of the Lord as revealed to Jeremiah the prophet that Jerusalem would lie desolate for 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and I pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. I also wore rough burlap and sprinkled myself with ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and I confessed, O Lord, you are great and you're awesome God. You always fulfill your covenant. You keep your promises of unfailing love to those who love you, who obey your commands. The first thing that grabbed me was right here where Daniel was reading the word of the Lord. It's not capital because at that moment, Jeremiah's words were a prophetic statement that was written to the people of God, but it was not quote unquote accepted as the, what we call the Bible. And so his heart was moved by just a prophetic word of the Lord. But we, to us, Jeremiah is actually a book within our Bible. And what I'm seeing here as I first read this is that Daniel is reading the Bible, and his heart was so moved by something that was written in Scripture that his only natural response was to break out in an inner groaning that led him to pray and to fast. And so that's the first question that we can ask ourselves as we do our own inventory. When is the last time we read our Bible and it so grabbed us around the heart that we just knew our only appropriate response was to pray or to fast over that scripture? This was not, hey, I have a need. This need bothers me. It bothers me so much that I'm willing to go fast for it. It's not circumstantially based at all. It was driven by scripture. When was the last time that happened to us? And if it's been a while, then we have to ask ourselves why, right? No condemnation, just why. Number two, the thing that I see here was Daniel's prayer that he prayed was shaped by what he read in the Word. Okay, so this is sort of a side commercial from the discussion of fasting, although it's all tied together and related on the same stream here. But Daniel actually began to pray in response to what he saw in the Bible. Okay, it says here, verse 3, so I turned to the Lord and I pleaded with him in prayer. And on the next slide, here is his prayer. O Lord, you're great and awesome. God, you always fulfill your covenant, keep your promises of unfailing love to those who love you and obey your commandments. And as I read that this week, it grabbed me and I realized that that was straight out of Exodus 20. That prayer was Moses's words in Exodus 20, which tells me that Daniel literally, as he began to pour out his heart and pray, the first thing he did was the word of God, which was now Moses's words written in Exodus, began to shape his prayer, and he began to pray that thing back to God, right? It wasn't just out of his own thoughts. It wasn't his own heart. He let the word of God begin to unfold his prayer, which is why it's so important that we're in our Bibles, we're reading these things, because have you ever had the word of God shape a thought or an opinion? Maybe it was an opinion of yourself, and you suddenly understood, wow, my perspective on the situation, on myself, on my loved ones. It's I've been thinking incorrectly, right? And we're willing to allow the Holy Spirit to just change the way we think, right? The word of God is powerful. So here we see that Daniel was willing to let the word of God change the way he prayed, right? Some of us were like, man, I don't always get this knowledge how to pray. I'm not eloquent like other people, and I want to encourage you, it has nothing to do with your eloquence. It has nothing to do with your poetic ability. It has everything to do with you knowing who God is by who he says he is in his word, and then allowing yourself to join with him in that, partner with him in that. And then when you pray, you're not just praying out of your own thought, your own limited eloquence, or your own limited familiarity, your own limited understanding. You're praying out of the will of God, the ways of God, the heart of God, the promises of God, as he wrote them for you as a pattern to say, this is who you are. I will repeat that back to you for my sake, not just yours alone. And then you grab a hold of that by faith, and you begin to lock on to that and believe him to be who he already said he wants to be for you. Does that make sense? You can nod. This is why it's so important that we're praying the word of God. And so Daniel, he goes back to Exodus 20, and in the time where his heart is, because he and his people are in bondage, and he realizes that he will be in bondage for a total of 70 years. And talk about a complaint. Can you imagine if you got the news that you're going to be stuck in a place you don't want to be stuck for 70 years? And he prays, oh God, Exodus 20, you always fulfill your covenant. You keep your promises of unfailing love to those who love you, who obey your commands. He didn't approach God in a whining place, although his heart was probably broken, right? But he stirred himself up with the fact that God always fulfills his covenant and his promises, and it's an unfailing love. His love never fails, you know? And I love this. We're just going to read this next verse here in Daniel 9:23. I skip ahead about 19 verses, but the this angel shows up as Daniel's praying and says, weeks after Daniel was praying and fasting. And this angel says to him, the moment you began praying, a command was given. And now I'm here to tell you what it was, for you're very precious to God. Listen carefully so you can understand the meaning of your vision. You know, like Daniel had to walk through a fasting process of 3 weeks. But just notice this. God had already answered the prayer and spoke a command the moment Daniel first prayed. That doesn't mean Daniel didn't have to walk that process. I think that process is really important that each one of us walks. But the Lord wasn't holding out, okay? Just because he had Daniel walk through a fasting process did not mean the Lord was holding out on a breakthrough. The breakthrough happened the minute the Lord spoke. But the Lord has these timetables, you know. We see that even from the beginning of creation. As the Lord spoke, let there be light. Bam, there was light. But the day went by, right? And then the Lord spoke his second word, you know. And each piece of creation unfolds within the day, the allotted time that God had for that word. And it reminds me of Isaiah 55, where the word says, you know, my word will not return void to me. It will accomplish that which I have sent it to accomplish, right? And as the scripture says, and I'm interpreting at this point, but if it tarries, wait, it won't delay, right? The Lord spoke it. It's on its way. But that doesn't mean we don't partner in the fast, because there's a process where God is not only changing circumstances around us, more importantly, he's changing us. And sometimes that wait is less about the situation and it's more about what he's doing in us. Amen. Amen. I got a couple of amen people on at church today. It's fun. So the rest of Daniel's prayer, I'm not going to share it on the screen. You can read Daniel 9 this week if you'd like, points back to several of Jeremiah's predictions. And so point by point, as Daniel begins to unfold his prayer, it's almost as if he's got the scroll of Jeremiah on his lap and he just keeps going point by point through that and saying, you said this. And then he would pour out his heart to the Lord on that point. And then he would go to the next point of Jeremiah, and then he'd pour out his heart again on that point. And I wanted to just have you take on your notes today this idea that you will be looking through scripture intentionally for God to provide a roadmap for how you're supposed to pray this week. And not only this week, but as a lifestyle, but really practice it this week. I believe the Lord wants to show himself to you in a fresh way, that as you open the scripture, he said, this is how I want you to pray. And you'll feel this living, breathing connection where the word of God is not, it's so much more than words, it's his heart. And where he'll shape your attitude, he'll shape your faith, he'll shape the way you think. It's amazing what happens as he causes you to wrestle within yourself over some of the negativity and the emotions that we experience through life. Amen. So ask him, Holy Spirit, before I open my Bible, I want you to lead me to where you want to take me. And some of you are going to twitch a little bit, but my devotional says I have to be on chapter 2 of, you know, the book of Hezekiah. And, maybe you're supposed to abandon that devotional for 5 minutes and let him take you on the adventure to the place where he wants to take you. That doesn't mean don't do your devotional. It just means don't blind yourself to the fact that that's what he wants and that's only once, and let him lead you through a prayer just like Daniel here, where you're repeating back to the Lord his heart, his will, who he is, and letting your thought processes begin to join him rather than try to twist his arm and make him go where you need him or want him to go. Amen. Not many people want to say amen to that one.
Amen.
I love how in verse 23, the moment Daniel prayed, a command was
given. Amen.
I love how in Daniel 9:23, though, as soon as he spoke, the Lord delivered a command. It's almost like a conversation is happening. And sometimes we don't hear the conversation, But if we were to stop and go beyond the craziness of our own emotional state, we would actually feel the groaning of the Holy Spirit in concert with the will of God echoing back his desire within us. And we could let that kind of lead our emotional state rather than the other way around. And none of us are perfect, so don't think I'm telling you I'm the the expert on that subject, because far from it. I love how God acted, and then God came or sent an angel in this case to explain what was going on. You know, God is not this God who loves to hide. You know, he actually loves to reveal himself to those who are willing to seek, right? That's why we seek first the kingdom of God. That's, you know, we picture a God who's out there hiding, and we forget that his message to the church in Revelations was, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's pursuing, right? And we like to use that scripture when it comes to leading people to Jesus. You know, all you sinners, he's standing at the door and he's knocking. But really, that message was not spoken to sinners. That message was spoken to the church. And he's knocking, and he's persistently knocking. And he wants us to open up the door and share a meal with him as friends, it says in Revelations 2. You know, I mean, he wants to reveal himself. So are we aware of the fact that he wants to do that? And if we are, then we're able to hear the fact that he's knocking. But if we're not open to the idea that he's out there knocking and interested in revealing himself, we're just in panic mode, hoping that he hears what we have to say, hoping he'll react at some point. You know? Amen. Then I love this. I need to show this to you, but I don't want to hang on it too long because we're going to come back to it. But the moment you began praying, a command was given, and now I'm here to tell you what it was, for you are very precious to God. Do you catch that? You are very precious to God. This messenger was led by the Lord to make sure that Daniel understood beyond just the fact that you called and I answered. Was, pause for a minute, just grab this fact, you are very precious to God. Full stop. Okay. Now let's talk about what the Lord wants to talk about. You know, like, he loves us. You know, if we could grab a hold of that, it was so important to God that Daniel understood that before he unfolded the rest of what he was about to say. Because God wasn't satisfied to just tell him what he wanted to tell him. He needed Daniel to see it through the eyes of one who is very precious. It makes all the difference in the world. And the things that Daniel was about to see from that point on had to do with the end of the world. And I don't believe God wants us to face predictions on the end apart from the knowledge that we are very precious to him. Because, you know, how many believers do I know that say, I won't even open up the book of Revelation because it scares me? You know, people are avoiding scripture. People are avoiding scripture because they don't understand that they're loved. And so to them, it's scary. Matter of fact, let's take that a little bit further. John, the disciple who delivered the book of Revelation to us, the prophecies about the end of the world, how did he refer to himself throughout the Gospels? He was the disciple whom Jesus loved. Whenever he referred to himself, he didn't say me. He would tell the story like that, narrating himself. This is the disciple that Jesus loved, said, you know. And he walked in such knowledge of the fact that he was loved. It dictated who he was. And it was him, you know, with that perspective that Jesus knew he could share this story of the end. I think it's awesome. We'll go ahead and move on. We'll go to Daniel 10. I have Revelation in my mind, I guess. Daniel 10, starting with verse number 1. So this is at a later time, but in the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, Daniel had another vision. He understood that the vision concerned events certain to happen in the future, times of war and great hardship. And when the vision came to me, I, Daniel, had been in mourning for 3 whole weeks. So in this case, this was not the Bible that came to him and led him to go into this 3 weeks of mourning. You know, looking at verse number 3, all that time I had eaten no desirable food. So we, you know, spoiler alert, Daniel is now finding himself in another 3 week fast. And it was not a Bible verse per se that led him to this place. Now it was a vision. So we have two instances of examples that what could lead a believer to go into a time of fasting. One, it could be your heart is moved by what you see or read in the Word of God, but then also the Holy Spirit is alive and he's a person. He's the heart of God within us, and he can share with us things and we can hear his voice. Or in this case, Daniel saw a vision. You know, Joel said in the end, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and my sons and daughters will prophesy, and young men will dream dreams, and old men will see visions. Actually, it's the other way around. Young men will see visions, old men will dream dreams. But the point is, he's speaking and he's showing, and there are times where we will be so moved by him speaking or communicating to us that we know it's time to go into another gut-wrenching morning, or just, I know it's time to fast. In this case, Daniel was led to mourn, and in that time, he had eaten no desirable food. I'll come back to that word, but I bolded it for a reason. No meat. Here's his diet. I know what you guys are thinking. You're thinking, ah, he went on a Daniel fast. No, not this time. The first time the Daniel fast was in Daniel chapter 2, and everybody likes to market and sell this like a book. You know, take two verses out of the Bible and turn it into a novel you can market and sell, where you only eat fruits, grains, and vegetables. And that's not what he did here. Here, his fast was he ate no desirable food, no meat, no wine, so no alcohol, and no fragrant lotions. So ladies, I'm sorry, but none of your oils. What is that oil called? Essential oils. I mean, Daniel, obviously being, I think, the third most powerful person in the kingdom at this time, liked a good shower and some oil that made him smell good. He just liked to feel good and clean. And, you know, he just knew that is not the time. This is a time of my life where I'm supposed to forget about me and how I feel and make it about something much greater than myself. And so on April 23rd, roughly what, 13 days ago, I was standing on the bank of the Great Tigris River. That was a joke. And I looked up and I saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning and his eyes flamed like torches. If any of you have read Revelations 1, you know exactly who we're talking about here. We're talking about Jesus is now in front of him. This is not an angel. This is the line-by-line description of what John saw in Revelations 1. His eyes flamed like torches. His eyes were like flames of fire, John said. Two men who were very precious to God saw the eyes of fire that Jesus had. And you would know, I guess, if you didn't walk with the Lord, if you didn't know who you were in him and how much he loved you, you might be scared by flaming eyes, right? Because, wow, that's scary stuff. But if you understood that his eyes are loving and they're burning with love for you. So the very thing that the church preaches, the fear of God, can be a scary thing. But if you realize that the one who ultimately holds all power in the universe, who could destroy and tear apart all of creation with one flick of his finger, loves and holds you together, Colossians says. And he's burning with love and desire for you. And that's the jealousy of the Lord burning for you. It's the fear of God is not a horrible thing to those who are in love with Christ. The fear of the Lord is actually drives us to love him, appreciate him even more. So then verse number 9 says, I heard the man speak, and when I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted, and I laid there with my face to the ground. But we don't believe that stuff in the church anymore. We don't believe in falling on the ground, so we'll skip that. Just then, a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling to my hands and knees. And the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God. He said it again. Did you catch that? He's about to unfold another element of the future. And before he tells Daniel the future, he has to point out, because that's just who we serve. That's the Christ who loves us, that we're precious, right? So listen carefully to what I have to say. Stand up, for I've been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. And he replied, "Do you know why I've come? Soon I must return to fight against the spirit prince of the king of Persia, and after that the spirit prince of the kingdom of Greece will come. And meanwhile, I will tell you what is written in the book of truth." That's so cool to me that it's what is written in the book of truth. As you know, the Bible hasn't even been fully written yet, and Jesus is already explaining it. "No one helps me against these spirit princes except Michael, your spirit prince." Now we're into chapter 11, but still same conversation. "I've been standing beside Michael to support and strengthen him since the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede." So several years have gone by, and Jesus has been on a spiritual battlefield battling these principalities, is what Ephesians calls them. Before I move any further, you see where I have on my screen, this is very precious in verse 11. "You are very precious to God." That word is the same word that we see here just a couple verses earlier, where Daniel said, "All that time I had eaten no desirable food." It's the same word. So Daniel is on a pursuit, okay? He's on a pursuit to find the Lord as the most precious thing in his life, the most desirable thing in his life. And so the expression of that pursuit is he gave up desirable food. He continued to eat. So please don't feel a guilt trip if the Lord's called you to fast and you haven't given up food entirely. Daniel was still eating, but he gave up the desirable foods in his life. And he gave up alcohol, and he gave up, for him, lotions and fragrances. I guess that was his thing. But he gave that stuff up because, to him, he was willing to depart from the most precious in order to experience that which was even more precious, which was God himself. And in doing so, when Christ appears, the thing Christ says back to him is, "Hey, I see that you see me as the most precious, and I just want to remind you, I see you as very precious to me." There's this love exchange that takes place that we as Christians often miss out on when we're not willing to go on that adventure. You don't know how many believers that I have spoken with that are like, "Heck no, I do not fast. That's not my thing." And I just want to just tell you, man, if you haven't experienced that journey, if you've hardened your heart to say, "Heck no, I don't do that. That's not for me." Or if you're that person that says, "Well, for the following five medical reasons, I can't," and you shut it down and you're not willing to consider the fact that there might be some fragrant lotions that you're supposed to give up on, you know, as a way of experiencing his love, you're missing out. You're missing out on an exchange for him to be able to come in and say, "I recognize that you gave up desirable things, and I want you to know that I see you as extremely desirable as well." We'll see and think about that for a minute. So I love how Jesus said, "I've come to explain to you the things that are written in the book of truth." You know, that is scripture, right? I mean, that is to us. When you actually look at what did the words "book of truth" actually mean in the Hebrew language, when you translate it, it literally translates out "scriptures of truth." And Jesus has come to explain that which was written to Daniel in the scriptures of truth. And so what I see here is Jesus has a willingness to let Daniel in on a secret that he wasn't telling other people per se. And you might say, "Well, that's because Daniel was a prophet." And I would say, no, I believe that's because Daniel was willing to lay down some things and chase after God in a fresh way. And because the Lord rewards those who diligently seek him, that's Hebrews 11, we know that Jesus came to reward Daniel with the very thing Daniel was searching for, which was more of him. And he said, "I'm going to explain it to you." You know, for some of you who are saying, "You know, when I read the Bible, I don't sense something, you know, jumping off the page. It doesn't feel like I get any freshness out of the scriptures." My first advice is ask the Lord if it's time to fast and break through some of this junk. Okay. I also think it's interesting that beyond explaining what's written in the book of truth, we see this entire scripture here where there's a fight against the Prince of Persia and an upcoming fight against the Prince of Greece. And then there's some discussion about Michael and how he's the Prince of Israel and he's fighting on behalf of God's agenda. And all this stuff seems extremely weird at first glance. My point is not to like draw too much attention to this battle that's going on beyond our sight. But what I do want to point out is Jesus actually gave Daniel some insight into some spiritual warfare that no one else was aware of. You know, and that's something that also often comes in a time of fast, is this insight to what God is actually doing under the hood. And we get to join him in that knowledge where other people are just struggling, saying, I don't know why things are just so hard lately. And then there's the guys like the Daniels who are entering into a deeper pursuit of God. And he's allowing them to see beyond that veil, if you will, and giving them very specific ways that they can pray. Amen. Amen. Daryl, are you sure about that? Of course I am. That's why I will take you to Ephesians 6 really quick to some of your favorite scripture here. Put on God's armor so you'll be able to stand against all the evil strategies of the devil. But we're not in a fight against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, because of this, because of these bad guys that we can't see, put on every piece of God's armor. You know, and we'll teach the armor of God in Sunday school, but we tend not to, and I think it's smart, teach our children about these evil things out there. But as adults, man, we're putting on the armor of God, not just so that we can be good little boys and girls. We're putting on the armor of God because we have a battle that is so much greater than flesh and blood. We have a battle against rulers and authorities, right? And we saw that in Daniel 10. We had rulers over Persia and Greece in the spirit realm. And now we see it in the New Testament that we have these rulers and authorities, you know, and we have rulers and authorities over New England. They've been here for about 300 years. They still wear white powdered wigs, and they are declaring that New England is not going to experience the reality of the love of God. And, you know, I beg to differ. We were called to experience that here in New England. And some of us, we're fasting for something so much greater than ourselves. We're not fasting because I have this problem and I need God to solve it for me. We're, you know, some of us are being called like Daniel to affect a lasting change that goes so farther than ourselves. We're crying out for a nation or a region or a state or a community. You know, let the Holy Spirit lead you into these things. Aislinn, I saw that you were calling, so I have doing my best to unmute you, but it's not coming off of mute. There we go.
Daryl, that several people have asked to repeat the last statement because they didn't hear it. I think you were lagging or you broke up there. I'm not certain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You said white wigs, and then after that, you got really muffled.
Ah, okay. I was joking when I said the white wigs, but I was talking about principalities, things in New England that have been here since the Revolutionary War era, things that have been, you know, so intent on not allowing New England to experience the reality of God, that we would have nice little religious organizations, but no heart, no connection, no voice of God, no power of God, no character or fruit of the Spirit, just religious, hard, do it yourself, do it in your own strength kind of Christianity, which is like a false gospel, okay? And Daniel, in his day, was called to fast, and he was part of the breakthrough, even though Jesus and Michael and the forces of heaven were, you know, doing the heavy lifting. They were at battle. Daniel was on his end being led by the groaning of the Spirit to fast and to break through on his end. And then the Lord met him and began to explain what was happening. And so for some of you, what I was getting at is that we're here to affect a lasting change. Our fasting is not a flash in the pan. I want God to do something for me quickly. I want a quick revival. I want a quick breakthrough. I just want COVID-19 to go away. And then when it's done, I'll start eating. No, it's not a hunger strike, okay? We're fasting for a long-term change. Okay? All right.
Amen.
Amen. Someone
especially in New England.
What'd you say?
Amen.
I said especially in New England.
The frozen chosen.
Not anymore.
Right.
Not anymore. We're not going to think of New England this way, right? We're going to think of New England like Jesus did. The moment you asked, a command was given. Now walk the process. Break the chains, right? We're going to think of our fasting, and it's a fasted lifestyle. Again, it's not just a week without a certain thing. As a big picture with regional results, long-term change, we need to hear God's direction. We need to walk in his power. We need to experience a level of favor that we've never experienced before as a church. You know, Jesus, you would think, had all of God's favor on his life. And yet we see scriptures that says, as Jesus grew, he grew in favor with God and with man. We see that favor is this commodity. It's this thing that's poured out on us as we grow in him over a lifetime. And the church needs favor because right now the church really has no reputation with the community at large, right? And I'm talking about the capital C church. When people say the word church, they don't say it always with a smile, right? And so there's a new level of favor that has to come upon us, right? And we're starting to see that. We're starting to see, like Chris and I were talking about this morning, that Share, when they ran out of food, they reached out to the church. That is awesome. That is awesome. The community said there are people, these God people, who can make up for the difference. You know what I'm getting at? That's just like the sparks of favor that are coming. But wait until the community begins to partner with the church for a need because they actually value what God is doing in his people. Like they respect it and they want that influence in their life, you know? We will always have that spiritual battle, but man, there are places that we can get to through surrender, through fasting that can affect a lasting change for a generation, or we could just tuck our head in the sand and enjoy another episode of whatever on Netflix, right? Let's see, what do I got here? I got something else. I just don't know what it is. Just kidding. Psalms 144, verses 1-2 says, "Praise the Lord, who is my rock. He trains my hands for war, and he gives my fingers skill for battle. He is my loving ally and my fortress, my tower of safety, my rescuer. He's my shield, and I take refuge in him. He makes troops submit to me." And that is not a physical battle psalm. That is the psalm of the believer today who has not entered into a battle with flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers of the unseen world, right? We are running into the mighty fortress that is our God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. And from that place of safety and from that place of knowing that we are desirable and deeply loved of God, just like Daniel experienced, then we are trained for war and our fingers are trained for skill. And he makes troops submit to us, to the word of the Lord, to the voice of God, to the heart of God in scripture. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to skip that and take us to Acts 13, 1-3, and then we'll land this plane. But fast forward, we're now back to the early church. This church is now meeting in Antioch, which is in the nation of Turkey at this time. Antioch was where the people of God were first called Christians, which means little Christs. And among those people, among the prophets and the teachers of that church at Antioch, scratch out, you know, some people would say scratch out prophets because we don't believe in them today. But here's a list of prophets that came after those that were a part of the what we'd call the major and minor prophets. But Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. And one day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them." So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Couple things I want to point out to here. Number one, people were praying and fasting and worshiping, and the Holy Spirit gave a commission to a couple of those people who were part of that group, and the rest of the church heard it, felt it, because they were in unity together, and they sent those guys out with purpose and with prayer. And second thing I want to point out, just because they got the answer and the direction, they went and prayed and fasted again, because they, you know, it's not enough to just do it the one time. And, you know, again, it's not a program, it's a lifestyle. They wanted to be sure that they weren't just moving out in the Lord's command, but they also had his timing, his power, and his sense of purpose behind them as they sent these guys out. And what's significant about Paul and Barnabas going out? You and I, we owe our salvation to those guys going outside of the Jewish faith and preaching the word of God to the Gentiles. We are products of those that learned of the scripture, of the love of God. The gospel message came to us because those guys were willing to step out of what was comfortable and go into non-godly nations and share their faith. And it all happened because they were praying and fasting and they heard God. And then they prayed and fasted and they knew they were to be sent, you know? You catch that? Lasting changes, lasting implications, eternal, multi-generational effects happened. And if you think I'm talking way too pie in the sky here, I hate to disappoint you. That fasting, like, when does pursuing the Lord, you know, return void? Like, where do we see that in scripture? There's nowhere in scripture where, you know, people sought the Lord and nothing happened, right? Amen. So last thing I got, and I told you I was going to land the plane here. Hebrews 10:36, patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will and you will receive all that he has promised. You know, we're not in this just to receive the little bit that we can. The prayer of the early church here for all believers everywhere would be that we would receive all that he has promised. And that's what we want to focus in on today. Sometimes when we feel stuck and we can't break through any further, fasting is that place that gets us to the next step. And here are the things that I'd like for us to pray for today. Number one, Holy Spirit, teach me to pray in sync with the Father's will. I'm done fishing around in the dark. I hope that pierces a few of us in the heart. Number two, Holy Spirit, shape my prayer with scripture so that I pray according to your heart and promises. No more praying out of just need, right? Number three, lead me in lifestyle fasting so that I affect lasting change with your specific direction. And then number four, lead the church in denying themselves and following Jesus wholeheartedly. And you know, fasting is honestly the doorway to deeper levels of denying ourselves. So I'm going to open this thing up for prayer. I'll start. And like we always say, just police your own mute button. Turn it on and off when you can. But feel free to jump on top of me and we'll pray until this thing is prayed through. But Holy Spirit, we are not interested in a flash in the pan gospel that just blows up and makes us feel good on Sunday. And then Monday we go back to regular life again. Lord, we ask for such an impacting gospel with a lasting change, a gospel that has power, a gospel that has love. Lord, a lifestyle that is self-denying, that truly does walk in the fullness, a patient endurance that receives all that is promised to us from the Lord. And God, we're here as one family. And we're asking you to come and just do that work within us. And Lord, if you're calling us to fast, Lord, I ask that you will call us into that place and we will not deny it. Lord, I'm not trying to sell people on anything. I'm just asking, Lord, that you would speak very specifically. And if it's something like entertainment, or if it's something like a kind of food or an activity, or if it's social media or, Lord, news or any of those things, God, that you would just have your way. You gave up everything so that we could experience you. And I just ask that we'd be willing and able and empowered by the Holy Spirit to give up those things so that, God, we can experience the fullness of you. Lord, I pray for a patient endurance as we press through. I ask, God, that we will begin to see lasting change. Lord, I ask that we will see rulers of darkness over this region break and fall. And Lord, that their effect and their influence will diminish, God, over this area, and that the name of Jesus will be made great, and that the hurting will be helped, the hungry would be fed, the broken, Lord, would be healed. I pray for emotional healing and physical healing in this area. I pray that churches would unite and would not compete, but they would stand together, Father, as one, even though they're separate. And God, that your agenda would begin to unfold in greater ways, God, in this area. Lord, I pray that your agenda would unfold in greater ways in our families, God, that we would not experience any falling away or falling away in disinterest. God, wake us up and cause us to fall more in love with you. And God, I'm just asking that we as parents would and grandparents would engage our children, Father, in a deeper way. And Lord, that you would just take us out of any lukewarmness that might exist. And that, Father, we would burn with love and desire for you, just as your eyes are burning with fire for love for us, God. Lord, we don't want to go another day with a flattened, hopeless faith. Make us like Daniel so that the command is given and now we just have to walk through the process, that you would come and unfold your word to us and teach us and show us what it all means, God, and what the impacts are. God, intimacy with you at the end of the day is what we're really crying out for. We thank you, God, that you see us as precious. In Jesus' name. Who else wants to pray?
I'll jump in.
Yeah.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for my beautiful church family, and thank you for this technology where we can still get together. Thank you for the message today. I just confess and lay down my "what have you done for me lately, God" attitude, and I just ask for you to just clean out the dirty corners of my heart, Lord, and not only fast from what you want me to fast from, Lord, but just to completely give it over and just lay it down on the altar and not expect some grand reward, because I have my reward from you every day with my family, with my church family, just being able to call myself a king's kid is just, I'm so grateful for that, Lord. So just put it on my heart to turn over what you need me to turn over so I can press into you deeper. And I just pray for it to be purposeful. And I just thank you for the constant renewing of my mind and your new mercies for us every day. In your precious name.
Father, I ask that you speak to each of us through this time. God, I thank you that you speak individually to your people. You speak corporately to your people. God, I pray, as this is a time where we're separated from face-to-face meeting, that you would speak to us individually, that as Adam prayed, that you would deal with the things that are in our lives that we cling on to, that we hold on to, that keep us from experiencing you fully. Holy Spirit, reveal to our hearts the things we need to lay aside, whether they be a certain food group or a drink group or entertainment or social media, as Beth mentioned. God, whatever it is that captures our attention and doesn't allow you to capture our full attention, God, allow us to lay that down. And as we lay that down, to pick up more of you, Holy Spirit, inhabit our thoughts, inhabit our prayers. God, I pray that each of us would dig deeper into your word and scripture through this time. God, I pray that even the family units that are together and kind of stuck with one another, Lord, that they would have times of fellowship and Bible study and prayer. God, I pray the parents would be teaching their children about you. I pray that we would be able to share with one another how God has worked in each of us individually. Lord, give us give us a peace that the world doesn't have right now. Give us a calm that when they look at a person, they're like, why are they so calm in this situation? Because we know, Lord, that you are our help. You are our source. Nothing else will do in our lives, Lord. And thank you for this time where you've kind of removed all of the distractions that we can focus more on you. So this week, Lord, as we pray through and read through Daniel 9, God, give us more thoughts. Build upon what Daryl has taught us, that we might just experience more of you, so that we be more like you, so that we can reach a world that needs you, Father. We pray in your Son's precious name.
I'd like to touch on something that came up a few minutes ago about men doing it themselves, do it, a DIY life. And I was just going over that in my mind yesterday. And it's a scam that's been put on culture by Satan, my opinion, that a man can't be a full man, good father, good husband, until he has the skills to completely build his own house without having to have any other contractors coming in, and completely repair his car and rebuild his engine block when the rings are not working so well. Until he's able to do all of that stuff, he's not a full man. And never mind the fact that the Holy Spirit is within him to guide him and through prayer help him out, he has to do that all himself. And I see men acting like they're little islands. And so I would pray against that. I've seen this for a long, long time, not just recently, but got to do it myself. And so I pray against that and ask that the men in this who are listening take a look at their life and say, is that how they're really trying to function in the world without any connection with God or the Holy Spirit, to do it, that I have to do it myself. That's it.
It's the women too, Pete. We're expected to be super women, you know, mom and work full time and just, you know, do it all. And if we don't, then there's something wrong with us. And it may not be anybody else saying that there's something wrong with us. It's this heart attitude of me do it. And you're right, we forget that we need help and that there's no shame in needing help, that God is there to lead us and guide us. And I mean, even Moses had two people come and hold his arms up. And we need to be open to having someone to hold our arms up.
I spoke to Daryl when a little after 9 o'clock. My next door neighbor said, I'm making a meatloaf right now. Would you like some of that? I said, fine. So she brought over some meatloaf and a baked potato, not mashed potatoes, baked potato with a little bit of butter on it. And it was a delight. I can't do that in my home right now. But she did it, and it was absolutely delightful. I felt so touched.
I just, the scripture that just keeps coming to my mind is that God ordains our steps, and that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So we don't have to walk in fear. We have to walk in righteousness, and we have to walk wherever he leads our feet. And that might mean that we come outside the doors of our house and we bring food to the needy and the homeless without worrying about what we're going to get, because not only does he ordain the steps of our life, but our days are numbered. He knows the day and the hour that he's going to take us back to be with him. We can't control life and death. It's out of our hands. Only God can control that. But we can control what we allow to put into our minds, and we can control our ability to be able to hear God's voice by plugging into him daily on a daily basis. And I think that that's how we need to be moving forward, not in fear, but in prayer and in strength and in godly wisdom.
So Daryl,
yes,
I'd like to share, getting back to your comments about praying along with scripture. So I was listening to a radio show, this was probably 9 months ago, maybe a year ago, and the speaker talked about how boring our prayer life is. And the reason is, you know, when we pray, we tend to, and I'll speak for myself and maybe others are feeling this way as well, but, you know, when I pray, I tend to pray for the same things every day. You know, you pray for your family, you pray for the world, you pray for the country, you know, you pray for, it's sort of like the same stuff daily, right? And his point was that our prayer life can get very boring. So the tactic that he recommended was pretty much exactly what you talked about today, which was to pray in line with scripture. So when you read the word and you pray on specific things in scripture, it becomes new every day. Like I have three Bible verses that I read every day. They're just random, you know, from three different Bible apps. And it's interesting when they come up, each one of them is a thing to pray about. That is, you know, very different than what I would just, you know, normally, you know, do in my normal prayer routine. So anyway, yeah. Just wanted to share that, you know, if others are, you know, feeling that their prayer life is boring, really going along with scripture is a great way to break out of that.
Amen. Thank you. It's like the same Holy Spirit we're listening to. And not just praying what you see in the scripture as like what to pray for, but as we saw in Daniel from Exodus 20, he was just telling God who God is based on what he saw in scripture. And so, you know, it's allowing it to shape our worship as well. That's coming out of the prayer time. Who else?
Daryl, I have something to share.
Okay.
Friday night. Can you hear me?
Not really.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. Friday night, I was online and I listened to a Christian woman called Sister Ruth. The Lord told her to fast 21 days and every day 8 hours. So she couldn't, in case she fell asleep, she had somebody else to carry for her. And she said she couldn't. What do you say, 8 hours? You ran out of words. So she started praying in the spirit. And after it was broken, after 21 days, the Lord showed her the glory and marvelous things. So what you're preaching today is confirmation to me. And I'm going to try, you know, I get these horrible headaches, but I don't care. I'm going to try to fast as much as I can. I don't know when, where, how. I'm going to try today. So thank you for that message. It's a confirmation. And just thank you for obeying the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening and putting into practice. And remember, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. So just follow the Holy Spirit. And if he wants you to eat this but not that, just listen. Don't like just feel like you got to cut it all off or it's an invalid fast. No, it's valid, you know. So anyone else?
I'll jump in. I got something. It's interesting. I've always heard New England termed as a very hard ground to penetrate. There's a dark history for a lot of New England, and New England is one of the highest or rather lowest attendance for churches areas, which is leading to an ever increasing unchurched population among our younger generation. And I've really been you know, just hearing you talk, I've just really been feeling that we just need to really fast and pray. And it's interesting. We talk, you know, the talk from Daniel about the spirit princes, you know, or principalities. There, I feel like there's a lot of principalities in New England. And I just want to just encourage us to really just pray for an outpouring in our area. I just think that there's that hard ground is real, and that there's a lot of things around that need to be torn down. You know, part of it is an attitude that's come over generations. But I just really think that we need to pray to soften the ground, so to say, that the Lord would just pour out his water to soften the ground.
Amen. That, it is real. Taking it from a guy who didn't always live here and then moved here, there was a definitely noticeable difference moving here from what I experienced in another state, for sure.
I was going to jump in.
Okay.
Lord, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Father God, as we apply your word to our prayers, Lord, we know that it will not return void, but it shall prosper whereunto you send it. We thank you, Father God, that there is nothing too hard for you, that New England is salvageable, Lord God. These people, Lord, you love them, and I just pray, Father God, that you would, through your word, deliver them from any enemies that would keep them bound up and in servitude, Lord. Free them, Father God, for your word is freeing. It is a breath of fresh air, Lord God. It is all powerful, and you can do all things, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So, Lord, as we go forth, Lord, I pray that we do increase our prayer life. We increase our abilities through your word to go forth and to carry your word to other people, and that we reach everyone in New England, and that you are glorified in everything that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'm glad you felt okay to share. Thank you.
I would like to read a psalm that, you know, it's like, I wouldn't say maybe fasting, but sometimes when I think God tells me to change something, to me it's like a fasting, because I take it and now I'm conscious of it and I get to live it out every day. And it feels like a fasting to me because I'm always concentrating over it or praying over it, so to speak. I just wanted to read it because some of that's been working its way in me for the last year or so. So if I can read it, it's going to be Psalm 37. So it says, don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the new day sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper. Afraid about their wicked schemes. And this was a specific one to me. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. For the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. Soon the wicked will disappear. Though you look to them, they'll be gone. The lowly will possess the land and will live in peace and prosperity. The wicked plot against the godly. They snarl at them in defiance, but the Lord just laughs. He sees their day of judgment coming. The wicked draw their swords and string their bows to kill the poor and the oppressed, to slaughter those who do right. But their words will stab their own hearts and their bows will be broken. It is better to be godly and have little than to be evil and rich. For the strength of the wicked will be shattered, but the Lord takes care of the godly. Day by day, the Lord cares of the innocent, and they will receive an inheritance that lasts forever. They will not be disgraced in hard times. Even in famine, they will have more than enough. But the wicked will die. The Lord's enemies are like flowers in a field. They will disappear like smoke. The wicked borrow, never repay, but the godly are generous givers. Those the Lord blesses will possess the land, but those he curses will die. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Once I was young, and now I am old, yet I've never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. The godly always gives generous loans to others, and their children are a blessing. Turn from evil and do good, and you will live in the land forever. For the Lord loves justice. He will never abandon the godly. The godly will possess the land forever. The godly offer good counsel. They teach right from wrong. They have made God's law their own. And so they will never slip from his path. The wicked wait in ambush. And there's a lot more. Maybe I'm supposed to stop there.
Sounds good. But thank you. Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I love verse 13. He just laughs.
Just laughs.
Amen. There's a lot in that chapter that was tying together so many of the thoughts we've already said, which is really cool to watch.
It was important to me when I witnessed or when I talked to someone at work that when they're not, because they're always watching me, and God said it was important, like, that they don't see me get angry.
Yeah.
And, like, all the things they get angry about when they're in there talking, this happened, that happened, this person acts this way. Because eventually, if you give in to anger, it's like the sin thing. You give into it, and then it takes birth, you know.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
I had something too, Daryl. When you guys were talking about New England being hard ground, and I don't disagree with that and not to contradict that, but in the few years that we've lived here, the women I've met, I have found seem to be really soft ground and really desperate for God. And I just am having this feeling that in a lot of families, the way in, the door in, is going to be through the women in that family. That and that we really need to pray that they rise up in who they are and not see that nurturing soft heart as a negative and a weakness, but actually as a strength that's going to open the door to God in their lives, not just their lives, but their whole family. So,
yeah. No, it's a great thought. I don't ever want to go down to a negative so badly that we all just stay there in that negative place. So appreciate the offset. Did we cover it? I guess so. Did we get it all? All right. Well, I'm going to continue, you know, praying for you guys. But in my mind, this whole lifestyle fasting idea is not over. I don't believe that we're called to just drop it. And going for a while. And anyone who wants to join me in that, please feel free. And if you have any questions or thoughts about it or experiences, love to hear about it. Please tell me, tell Chris, tell Paul. But the point is, if there are testimonies coming in and out of a faith decision through fasting, let me know, because I would love to hear testimonies that we can share as a body. So with that, I'll go ahead and I'll leave the channel open here so people can say hi to each other, but let's consider ourselves formally dismissed.